It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? So glad that you've joined us today. The book of Matthew is where we're studying, and we're going to begin reading with the 46th verse, Matthew chapter 5, verse 46 through 48, and then we'll be reading into the 6th chapter as well. So please look that up, and we'll be able to study it and enjoy the study here in just a few moments. And while you're looking that up, I'd like to share with you this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you'd like to write to us, our mailing address here at the church is Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. If you would like to call us here at the church, it's 217-847-2717. If you would like to visit our website, www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. That's parkviewbiblechurch.org. Got many studies up on the site there for you. We have as well the plan of salvation and our constitution. And so please that you would look and enjoy it. And if you'd like to send us an email, you could send us an email at parkviewbible@gmail.com or parkviewbiblechurch@gmail.com, whichever you prefer. Love to hear from you. Matthew chapter 5, beginning to read with verse 46. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? If ye salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. Take heed that ye do not your alms before men to be seen of them. Otherwise, ye have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou doest alms, let not thine left hand know what thy right hand doeth. For thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogue and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to the Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions, as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. We're going to end the reading there with the 7th verse of chapter 6 and begin with prayer. Father, thank you. I praise you for the opportunity to have this radio ministry that folks can be able to enjoy the Word and fellowship together with us, and I just thank you and praise you. I ask, Father, that you will lead and direct us through your word. We must have the Holy Spirit in our hearts in order to understand your precious word and be led by you. We know that the only way that that can happen or have take place is that when we have the Lord Jesus in our heart, we have come by faith, trusted in him, called upon him. Father, it's such a joy to walk each day knowing you as our Savior, receiving your wisdom and understanding for each day's challenges. Just I thank and praise you, Father. So please continue to use us and grow us, direct us, Lord, please. Father, for those that have never had that personal relationship with their Lord and Savior, I ask today that they would please call upon you, depend upon you, understand that they need their sins taken away. They need their sins removed as the east is from the west, and only your precious blood can do that, that you shed on the cross of Calvary when you died for every individual 2,000 years ago. But we need to come, Father, by faith to you. Please just speak to hearts now, Father, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. It is such a joy to be together. Glad that you've joined us today. I hope that you enjoy the study in the book of Matthew. Many things for us to see and to know. And we actually found ourselves down to the 48th verse, "Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect." And so we need to understand that the love and the caring and the commitment that we need to have in showing Christ's love to others should be completely different than others. We should be able to show a love beyond when someone hates us or dislikes us. What do we do? Do we come with comforting words and desire that folks would see the Lord Jesus in us, or do we just bark back like everybody else and we want that revenge immediately? I hope not. And so the words here is, "Be ye perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect." And we kind of left off with some scripture verses here, and one of them is back in the Old Testament, and we were in Job when we finished last time we were together. And so let's go back to Job, and we'll continue from there. We always go verse by verse and enjoy that. So Job chapter 19. So find the book of Job, and then we'll find the 19th chapter. Job. Chapter 19. And we're going to look at the 25th and 26th verse. Job chapter 19, verse 25 and 26. "For I know that my Redeemer liveth, that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God." What a promise. And to be perfect even as the Father's in heaven, understanding who our God is and the joy that we're going to be receiving from Him, it is just a privilege. And one opportunity He's going to give us is the resurrection. And again, "For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God." What a joy. What a promise. Back, you know, we're talking 3,500 years ago when Job made that statement. He has been laying in the grave for 3,500 years, and yet his body will be out of that grave and have a glorified body. And what a joy that's going to be for all of us. And it's because we know the Lord Jesus as our Savior and walk with the Lord Jesus. Job chose to walk with Jesus. Yes, it was 1,500 years before Jesus was born, but he knew the Messiah was coming. And if he didn't know the Messiah, he would not know of the resurrection. And so he speaks of the resurrection. And so he is living as if the Lord Jesus had died during his lifetime and rose again, knowing that it was finished. He knew. He understood it. And he walked this life as a believer. Did Job have some problems? Yes, he did, just like everybody else. Did Job make some mistakes? Yes, he did, just like everybody else. But the purpose is, and the point is, that Jesus died on the cross that all can live. And Job had trusted in the coming of the Messiah. What a joy. We also have a New Testament scripture here of Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, verse 8. "But God commendeth his love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You know, when we look at that verse of Scripture, understand, as we look in Matthew chapter 5, verse 48, be ye perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect, and knowing what he has done for us, God commandeth his love towards us. That's a perfect love, in that while we were yet sinners, haters, despisers of anything of God, anything that is good, we despised. He died for us. That's showing his love. That's showing his sweet spirit. He is a peacemaker. We're not only to love our friends, but we are to love our enemies as well. The Lord Jesus did. We have proof of that back when we read from Job. Maybe that kind of seemed out of place just a little bit, but it for us to understand and for us to see that Job walked the life he walked because he knew the Messiah was coming and going to come and live and die and save him and take his sins away. Everything Job would have done to this point in offerings and sacrifices, the sins are covered. They were only covered, and he had to repeat that over and over again. But instead of that, we find... Instead of that, we find that he knew there was going to be a day when those sins were going to be completely and totally removed, and they were when Jesus finished the work on Calvary for him. So we're to be a peacemaker, we're to be poor in spirit as well. And we've got a couple others here. We can look at Romans chapter 8, verse 28. 8:28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. Now, many people, they misuse that verse of Scripture. They'll say, you know, all things work together for good. Well, to them that love God. Job loved God. Matthew loved God. I hope you love God. And I mean that by you coming by faith to the Lord Jesus, trusting in him, walking with him, serving him. And so as we read this, for we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. And if you are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you are called for his purpose if you come by faith to him. So please, please search out his will and way. Philippians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians chapter 4, verse 11 and 12. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. What a joy when we read those verses of Scripture. But we need to understand, we have so much to be thankful for. We need to walk as our Savior walked, be ye therefore perfect, as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. We need to follow him as our example, and we need to understand that what we have, wherever, whatever state we're in, we need to be content. We need to be content. Most of the time, we find ourselves always wanting. Be ye content. Matthew chapter 6. Take heed that ye do your alms before men, to be seen of them. Ye do not your alms before men, to be seen of them. Otherwise ye have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Now, when we look at this verse of Scripture, we need to first look to see what alms means, A-L-M-S, alms. It means righteousness. And so it denotes good deeds, righteous actions. And this includes almsgiving, all right, giving of righteous acts, prayer, fasting, anything that we do that is good for our Lord and Savior, that He is pleased with it, and good for mankind. And so when we do a righteous act, we need to see that we're doing it not to repay. And see, that's what we were talking about ahead here in the other verses. Take heed that ye do not your alms before men to be seen of them. When we do a good deed, what's our purpose? What is in our heart when we do a good deed? Is it there so that others can see it, so that they can come and thank us and praise the Lord for us and pat us on the back? And, you know, all those things as a human we enjoy. We enjoy those things. And we receive those things. And there's nothing wrong with receiving those things. But why do you do it? Do you speak? Do you do the acts of good just so other people will acknowledge the good you're doing? Or do you do it because it's the right thing to do? You do it because it's pleasing unto our Lord, because we are to be perfect as our Father in heaven is perfect. And we can't be perfect. I mean, we're sinners. But where is our heart? And the only way we can have the right heart is to be born again and surrender our heart to the Lord. It says, take heed. In other words, let's pay a little attention here. I want you to pay attention to what I'm saying, because you should always help your brethren, help your sisters. Do it from the heart, not that anyone knows what you're doing. You're doing it because Christ loved you. You love Christ. And you want to love the brethren even when they're not lovable. Please, look to the Lord Jesus Christ for your strength and for your power. Because again, this alms here means righteousness, good deeds, righteous acts. A godly person, a godly man, to do righteous deeds and to do righteousness is frequent in the Scripture, and we need to see that it is frequent in our lives. What Paul, what the apostles, what Noah, what Moses, Abraham, we just can continue down through the Scripture verses of people that did service unto the Lord for righteousness' sake, not to be heard. The question comes when we see these righteous acts, or we see someone else do a righteous act. The question comes, why do we do it? Do we do it so that other men can see? Back in the 16th verse of the last chapter, chapter 5 of Matthew, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Now, yes, we are to let our light shine. and we're walking in the light of the Lord Jesus, we're going to reflect the light of our God. But see that you're doing it for the purpose of pleasing God, pleasing our Lord and Savior, and not so that people will acknowledge you and make a notation of what you're doing. We are not to do good works with the purpose or design of being seen of man. Now, we like to look at the words, and we've got some important words here. Some of them are very small. Take heed, pay attention, be aware that ye do not your alms before men to be seen of them. This word seen, the Greek word comes from the Greek root of the word theater. So to perform for the purpose of being seen by an audience. So we can break it down just a little bit further and almost say, so we see the hypocrite, the one that needs to blow his trumpet before he speaks or before he does a good act, to see what I'm doing, wave your hand so everybody can acknowledge, you see what I'm doing over here? It is as if he was an actor, one who is playing a part, and there is nothing real about such an individual. Nothing real about a person that's playing a part. And sad to say, many preachers today, in our pulpits today, are nothing but actors. They are playing a part. When they yell and scream and pound on the pulpit and try to bring attention to some scripture or some example that they gave, why are they doing that? Are they doing that because they're led by the Spirit, or are they putting on an act because they're just actors? And many times, more times than not, that's exactly the position they're in. They are actors playing a part. Very, very sad. Take heed that you do not your alms before men to be seen of them. Otherwise ye have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. What's important to you? Recognition today, acknowledgement today, or acknowledgement for an eternity? Verse 2, Matthew chapter 6, verse 2. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. So you see, verse 1 and verse 2 go together very well, because when we look here, why we see, when thou doest thine alms, it is expected of us all to do alms, to do righteous acts. As a born-again believer, as saved, we are to be performing righteous acts. Not as an actor playing a part, but as something that is very real. And it's real all the way down to our heart. And when we do it because of the love we have for someone. And it's a love that's been given us by our Lord and Savior so that we can share that love with those that sometimes are not necessarily lovable. But here, no matter what the act, no matter what the opportunity, we need to see that it's done for the right reason. that it's not done for folks to see what we're doing. And it's even thought back in Matthew's time that some of these hypocrites, some of these priests, some of these folks that thought themselves to be so important, would literally blow a horn so that folks would turn and you wouldn't miss one single word of what they're saying. Thought themselves to be very important, didn't they? Many times we have words of importance to share, things to say, things that need to be heard. But we need to do that in a way of humility. We need to be humble. We need to do it in such a manner, as the third verse tells us, when thou doest alms, when you're doing a good act, a righteous act, and when I say act there, we are not acting, it's something we do. And when we perform that, do it in such a quiet manner that the left hand doesn't even know what the right hand's doing. Now, is that something we can do? No. Or sometimes I think I wonder if I know what my right hand's doing or my left hand's doing. But in reality, we can't divide the two of them because our brain recognizes what they're doing. But the point is that we need to say it or do it in such a quiet manner that no one knows. Now, there's times that you'll be speaking before a group of people, but it can be done in such a manner that the person speaking is not heard, but the words that are being spoken are heard. Takes that person completely out of it. And when it comes to proclaiming the Word of God, we need to see that when we speak, that the Spirit of God is the one that is honored and glorified. And the Spirit of God doesn't take any attention himself. He honors the Son. The Son honors the Father. So you see, there's nothing that we do led by the Spirit that gives honor to the Spirit, because the Spirit doesn't receive the honor. He turns the honor on to the Son, and the Son on to the Father. We need to understand the importance of serving, of giving, and of working. But it needs to be done in such a quiet manner that we don't get the praise for it. Oh, that's hard. We like to be acknowledged, don't we? We'd like to get that pat on the back. You know, when I do something, why, you know, no one comes by after the Sunday message and said, oh, I sure did love what you had to say about the Word. Kind of nice to hear those words. But we need to see that it's not the desire of our heart. The desire of our heart is that we hear the praise and the honor, and it's given to the Spirit. And so when they come and said, boy, I love that word, that precious word. Well, it wasn't the words of the preacher. It's the words of the Holy Spirit as he spoke to that person. That's what we need. No matter where we're at, if we're in some civic responsibility, see that we are not the one that's lifted up. See that the one that is honored and lifted up is our Lord and Savior. Because, as we read back in the other verse of Scripture there, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. See, it's we can let our light shine. Oh, everybody sees us. No, the glory goes to the Father. My dear friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?